is my pleasure to present.
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Loop text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down.
Shoot the
bomb,
man.
Here's Carmichael Dave.
Check us out on the YouTube stream brought to you by Jiffy Lube, where we stream every day as a healthy, healthy stream. Let's go to YouTube, search KHDK. Greg Papa joins us in about a minute. And Dr. Richard Pan makes his weekly stop at 8:35. Probably will not be a pleasant conversation. Well, it's always a pleasant conversation, but not a good week for a team no COVID. Team COVID go away is not having a great week. My mother is mad at me for talking politics on the show.
Oh, did you get get in trouble?
Yeah, she texted me.
She put you on timeout?
So my sister is influencing me.
Wait a minute. What does that mean?
Say my little sister's. And she says, call me later. I said, no, I don't talk politics with my parents. Doesn't happen.
I'm guessing you guys don't agree.
We used to. Okay. I come from a very conservative family.
Interesting.
And most of my life was very in step with them. But I have found this. When talking anything political, or really anything in general, if they agree with you, and I'm not talking about parents, I'm talking about people in general. If they agree with you, you are courageous and brave, and you speak the truth. If they do not, it's stick to sports. It's stick to sports.
Interesting how that works.
It is. Right now. Let's go. Always love it. My favorite part of the week, listening to Greg Papa's intro.
It's time to hear from the voice of the San Francisco 49ers. It's time for the Greg Papa Show. Brought to you by Harris Ranch Beef. To find out how you can enjoy Harris Ranch Beef, go to harrisranchbeef.com.
Let's get to the meat and potatoes.
Ayo!
That's why I'm the... That's why we're the 12th ranked mid-market morning show in the country.
But number one,
congratulations
ranked.
To you.
Thank you. Thank
the punniest.
Who did the ranking? Not Jason Barrett.
I think that's...
he used to be my boss. What the hell is he doing?
No comment.
No, I think it was, what was that, the Hot Talkers or what?
No, it was definitely Jason Barrett.
Jason Barrett. Greg, we take whatever.
You want me to shoot him a text?
Yeah, I'd like to move into the top 10.
I'm sorry the show sucks on Friday at 8:05, but beyond that, I think it's terrific.
I mean, seriously, we were 13 2 years ago. We're 12 now. I'm really gunning for the top 10 next year, and I just need to know who the hell I need to bribe.
Yeah. Let me guess. New York's number one.
Yes.
Chicago's number two. Yeah. LA's three. Yeah. And on.
Right. Then it's Wacky and Joker in Oklahoma City, I think, is number eight.
Oklahoma City?
I don't know. I don't know. I just I actually was after our program director here, the great Jason Ross. When stuff like that comes out, we actually had promos made. And they run on the station now.
We're number 12.
Yeah, the number 12 ranked morning show.
But are you number one in Sacramento?
Yeah, we are the.
That's all that matters.
Jay, you'll back me up. This is a true story. We have promos running the number one ranked morning show on KHDK, and that's it's a fact.
And what would be number two?
You know, we don't talk about them. That's a competition.
When you beat them so badly, Greg, you don't address them.
We're one of one.
How are you, my friend?
I'm a little sad today, I got to tell you.
Okay.
Only because the 49ers are packing up. They're going to be getting out of their plane today.
Yeah.
And they're going back to the Northeast in October.
Yeah.
And
Buffalo.
And, you know, well, not Buffalo. But
well, I know, but
I'm
you're a Buffalo.
But just, well, I'm an AFC East guy from growing up. And I remember the Patriots with the Boston Patriots and going back to years ago before even Foxborough was opened. And the two trips to start the year, back to back, New York.
Yeah.
How fun would that be? And then at New England, are you kidding me? These are some of the best trips. So, you know, I like Detroit, but if we were playing the Lions, I wouldn't be all melancholy this morning. But just to go back there, and I don't know if you've been to Gillette Stadium.
No.
But it is, you know, when you walk through that lighthouse they have on the open end of the stadium up by the water, There's it's like downtown Disney is right through that opening right there. And it's Bob Kraft owns almost all of it. And with the pandemic, it's probably not rolling at all.
Sure.
But it's just bar after bar and restaurant after restaurant and boutique Patriot shop after, you know, all I see is Adam Vinatieri and the Tuck game. And
yeah,
going back to when we were there, the last game that was ever played at the old stadium in Foxborough was the Tuck game.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the next week they went to Heinz Field and won, and then they moved into new places, the Super Bowl champions the next year. So, and it's always nice to go back to New England. I just love going to Boston or Foxborough's a little bit far away. And I, you know, I'm so despondent about not making the trip at all that I didn't even see where the 49ers are staying. Most teams stay in Providence, Rhode Island, which is a, you would love it. It's a really cool town. Some whispers of organized crime in that area, okay, which I think are way overblown. That doesn't exist anymore.
No.
Great restaurants and just a great spot. And then, you know, obviously on game day and the whole deal. So, and just going to New England in October is just magical, especially, you know, a week before Halloween and fall colors and the bite in the air, and it just reeks of football. So I'm a little down. I would like to be on this trip and actually going to see these football players with my own eyeballs and not have to do it off of a monitor, but that's the world we're living in here. We've got to take it seriously, to be sure.
Well, since you're down, let me make it worse.
Thanks, Dave.
I'm here for you. You mentioned it. I've never asked you this before. I am curious. And Raider fan, go do something for about a minute. Is the Tuck game the craziest thing you've ever seen? I'm just curious.
No, Raider fan, grab your radio because we've commiserated. It's the worst thing I've ever seen in all sport.
Yeah.
It was a terrible call. I know the interpretation of the call, and I remember going on the plane right after the game, and Al Davis said right away to me, Tuck rule. And I was so – and that was a hard night because that was a night game. That was the first night game, I think, in playoff history. I don't know about the Alan Ameche play in 58 and all that, if that was a night. But I in the new generation of NFL TV, CBS, Greg Gumbel did that game, and it was on 8:30 East Coast time. I remember, you know, climbing the walls the day of that game. I think I did my radio show here on a Friday and did an all-nighter. And I love Red Eyes. But I remember just, what, you know, all day long, let's go. And I remember sitting and talking to John Gruden for a couple hours at a cardboard, like a card table in a corner, because normally you leave for the hotel at 10, 11 in the morning. We're leaving at whatever it was, 3 or 4, and it was snowing so beautifully. But anyway, I remember getting on the plane after the game, and I was so worked up that it's the worst thing I've ever seen. Because fundamentally, I mean, Brady put his non-throwing hand on the ball.
Yeah.
So it clearly was a fumble. Whatever the Tuck rule said, it ends when his left hand goes back onto the ball and his motion to throw is now ceased. And to me, he's susceptible now, vulnerable in the rule book, applicable to fumble. And they didn't see it that way. And I remember going to Al, you know, do not fly this plane out of here. You got to go right to Pittsburgh and play them. This has to be a challenge. And
sure.
You know, Art McNally, who was the official upstairs that night, was the same one that worked the Immaculate Deception, as Raider fans call it. So he was all worked up. And the tough part about the flight home was we had to de-ice. And it took a long – you just de-ice one wing and the other one would freeze. We didn't take off until damn near daybreak.
Oh, my God.
And I remember getting home and, like, just almost in a coma.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh was playing a playoff game the next day, and it was hard to watch the rest of the playoffs because it was so unjust. And I do a radio show, and on which is like the 28th best ranked midday show in all of North America. But
I read the trades; it's better. I'm sorry.
I opened the show with Supertramp's "Crime of the Century." Is the way we started it. And I still feel that way now, even though we're in a new century.
Yeah.
Well, actually, that was the beginning of that of this century. But anyway, I just think it was unjust. It was and they took them, you know, the league knew that. I remember being on the phone with Mike Pereira so many times after that play and, you know, the way the rule was written. But the league, they changed the rule. You know, what was it, 10 years later, they actually changed the rule. So they kind of admitted that it was a mistake. But any event, I guess we're bringing, because John Gruden is supposed to play Tom Brady.
Yes.
This week, although that may not happen.
Right.
We'll see. But, yeah, I mean, it's whenever I, that's why going back to New England, to go back with the 49ers would have been a whole different experience, because the last time I was there was Dennis Allen was the coach, and we flew right to England after to play Miami. We went from New England to Old England.
And
when you walk through that, you know, the Patriot Place and all those little boutique shops, and the Patriots have a Hall of Fame there. They don't have any players in the Hall of Fame, right. But they do have a Hall of Fame. Andre Tippett is the best. John Hannon and Andre Tippett, the two best in the history of the franchise.
Sure.
Anyway, way better than that quarterback. And all they had was they had a simulation where you could kick Adam Vinatieri's field goal, the 46-yarder.
Really?
The helicopter. And I was like, I didn't kick the ball. I kicked Vinatieri is what I kicked. So it was. Yeah, it would have been a whole different experience now going back and not looking at that place through silver and black lenses.
Yeah. Well, you know, I told you I'd cheer you up there. All right.
I'm going to cheer
Jay,
everybody up.
Help out. Greg and I are sad.
Greg Papa, voice of the 49ers, joining us this morning. Greg, really liked how the Niners' run game looked in the second half against the Rams with Kyle Shanahan going more Jamichael Hasty. So a little two-part question here. Number one, do you see the run game being priority number one for Shanahan to establish this week? And where do you see Hasty when it comes to getting the bulk of those carries?
It's always priority number one. It's number one, two, and three, and because it all comes off of that. That's the foundation of his offensive house is the run game. And they're doing different things to, you know, this Deadpool X-Force action with Debo, and I call it a jet sweep, but actually it's a pass. It's not a sweep. It's kind of a jet pass, but if I say that, I think of James Jett, and he would probably drop the pass, so I don't like to call it that. But, but Belichick, and I was talking to Kyle yesterday and Jimmy Garoppolo, and I threw both lines at him, and they agreed. I mean, you watch their defense, and it looks like they have 14 or 15 guys on the field. It's like, how do they? They've got all these safeties and defensive backs, and they've got all these guys in the middle. They'll have a lot of snaps where they have one linebacker on the field, and they'll play like a 4-1-6 or a 3-1-7. Hell, against Kansas City, they had 8 defensive backs on the field for a lot of snaps because they wanted to take away, you know, Mahomes in the passing game. So he's just a chameleon. There's no doubt he's going to try to take away the 49er running game, and he's going to do exactly what he did or variation. He never does anything exactly the same. But like in the Super Bowl against the Rams a couple of years ago, and Sean McVay's running game is similar, he went to a 5-man line the entire game. And he also had another Hightower at the end of that line, and they wouldn't let you get outside. He'd force it back inside, and he has all these big guys in the middle to slam you. So he will take that away, or try to, but then the 49ers have a wrinkle off the wrinkle, which is this new, you know, this new X-Force Deadpool action. And it's fascinating because, people going in motion have been going on in the NFL for years, decades. But to hand him the ball, it's almost like the Arena League, where you're allowed to have wide receivers running towards the line of scrimmage, which was always like, wow, that's a big advantage, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, in the NFL, you can't do that. But if we get in, you know, a lot of, like, it's a high school action, it's fly sweep, a speed sweep is what they call it, where the point is you're going to have a runner, an elite wide receiver speed, get a running start on the handoff. It's not going to be a running back with his two hands on his thigh pads and he's coming from a stationary start. So he's already running fast. He can get to that edge, and it's a speed sweep. So, they'll try to get to the edge, but you may have to run more inside against him with Belichick. But your point also about Jamichael Hasty, I would not be surprised if Jamichael Hasty has more rushing attempts in this game than Jerick McKinnon. Mm. I'll just say it that way. I was really impressed the way he ran. They didn't run in the second half. They didn't run well in the third quarter at all. They had no offense at all. They didn't even have 100 yards of offense the entire second half. They only had the Robbie Gould and the field goal that he made from 49. So I think Jamichael Hasty is impressive. He's an impressive runner. I think he's got a little more physicality than Jerick McKinnon. And he's quicker to the hole. Jet is a little slower, kind of Le'Veon Bell-like, just laying back. And, you know, running back coaches preach slow to the hole and fast through the hole. But Jet's a little slow. And it's the way this running game is built, it's not, you don't want him to do that. You want him to press that line quickly and then cut it back or keep it play side. So, yeah, they'll try to run it. Belichick is known for trying to take the thing away. You do the best. He'll try to take the run game away. That's why this matchup is so fascinating. Kyle, and it's, you know, Mike Shanahan and Alec Gibbs and go on and on from years ago in Denver and wherever Coach Shanahan was, 49ers before that. Running game against Belichick, who specializes in taking away your running game.
Greg Papa with us. You know, speaking of Bill Belichick, I've always said he has a little bit of 80s, 90s Lou Holtz in him. When Lou would have the big monster Notre Dame teams and they'd be playing Southwestern, Eastern, Tennessee University, and he'd always say, you know, if we don't, shore up our defense, you know, there could be an upset. And then they beat him 73-1. And Belichick earlier this week was very effusive in praising George Kittle, as good a player as I have ever coached. And this is a guy who had Rob Gronkowski on his team, amongst others. I know we don't do the comparison thing, but do you think at this point in his career, Kittle has done enough to be compared to Rob Gronkowski and even better than Rob?
Well, going back to when you said you compared Belichick to Lou Holtz, I about fell over.
Lou Holtz is
the Henny Youngman of NFL or college coaches. I mean, he was legendary on the banquet circuit, and, you know, Belichick in these Subway ads doesn't even say anything, and they pay him. So
I only mean the praise for the other
I got you, but I think Belichick is real, Dave. He's a real guy, and he's a great. You know, Kyle's very good at it as well. One of Belichick's great skills is he's not just a great coach. He's a great observer of talent, evaluator of talent, and he picks players that fit what he wants to do. Mm-hmm. So he could be a great GM.
Sure.
And I think the way he delegates, like his son's now running the defense and Josh McDaniels runs the offense, he's a little bit like that. He's a CEO where he has full autonomy. So he knows players. And he knows the history of this game. They did the top 100 countdown with Rich Eisen, the 100 best players in the history of the league and 10 at each position. And his knowledge and scouting, and he took time to even go back and look at guys in the 20s and 30s. Coach Belichick knows everybody that's played in this league, and he does not lie. If he doesn't want to talk about someone, he won't. If he wants to talk about someone, he will. And if he likes them really, he'll go on and on. So there's no BS in him. Okay. So what he said about Belichick, what Belichick said about Kittle is true. Now, statistically, George has done things quicker than a lot of tight ends. The game has evolved. I mean, Mike Ditka, 63, had an incredible rookie year. Coach Belichick brought up the guy that I always bring up because he went to Syracuse. And I sat next to him at a Celine Dion concert at Al Davis's birthday party. It's John Mackey. I think John Mackey, in my opinion, is the best tight end in the history of football. When you look at the full body of being able to block in line and then go out and play like a wide receiver. Kellen Winslow was a terrific route runner and pass catcher. He could not block. Todd Christensen could not block. Travis Kelce does not block. You got hybrid guys, Jimmy Graham. George Kittle, when you look at the combination, like a Belichick would look at or a Kyle Shanahan, because the running game is so important, and I love Belichick's always got a fullback on the field. He uses his fullback differently than the 49ers use Juszczyk. It's just fascinating. So he's not just making this up to play up Kittle. He says he's the best. The way he described it was he's the best we've had here that I've coached or coached against. And what he's looking at is the skill set, not the stat sheet. But if I'm coaching this guy, is there anything he can't do? No. I think George can improve as a route runner over time, and he will. And he's dropped a couple too many this year, where last year he did not have a single drop in the regular season. But as an inline blocker, and when he misses a block, he gets mad. And then the next block, you better get out of the way.
Right.
If he happens to whiff on one. Gronk, I don't know, Dave, if he was ever completely healthy long enough. When he was healthy, he could block. There's no doubt. You know, his brother was a fullback, and they're all crazy family. But his body betrayed him a lot. where he just couldn't physically stand up in there. And he, you know, he got by a lot of days on one arm and one leg. I remember the last time I was in that stadium with the Raiders, he could not run. I mean, he looked like he was crippled, and he was just dragging the leg, and it was just awful to watch him. And here he comes inside the red zone. Look out for 87, touchdown New England. And he found a way to get it done. But I agree with Coach Belichick. I mean, I think George is just a special guy, and he's kind of a throwback to an earlier era where all the skill set required of a Belichick tight end is in George Kittle. So I don't think he was the master of the hyperbole there. I think that's what he thought.
Greg Papa will be on the call. Hopefully lots of touchdown San Francisco's. 125 kickoff, Niners-Patriots. Greg, calling the game local, but his heart will be in New England, and ours will all be there for him as well. Greg, appreciate you.
I think I'm going to get a big bowl of New England clam chowder.
There you go.
Maybe some Dunkin' Donuts.
Yep.
Walk in the Beat, Cop, Black, yes. And highly acidic to get me ready for the game. So yeah. Have a good day, number 12.
Thank you, and have a great call this weekend, my friend.
Thank you.
All right,
Thank
take you. Care. That is Greg Papa joining us. Is there anybody out there, by the way, that says Manhattan clam chowder is better than New England clam chowder?
I didn't even know Manhattan clam chowder was a thing until just now.
You'd never heard of Manhattan?
No, I had not.
It's red.
Ew.
Yeah, right.
No.
No,
not
I'll,
right, no.
I'll bet you that person exists.
Why is your ATM card taped to your hand?
I was hoping you wouldn't ask.
Why would I not ask
because
that?
Because the people on YouTube are one person. Who do you think? Dumb Chris. is saying I have small hands. Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of things physically wrong with me. My hands are giant.
There's so many things to get to before the end of the show, but we got to go to break.
I'm doing it to scale, and I'm making sure I keep my numbers on the inside, you know?
Someone was questioning the size of your hands. He was?
Thank you. So,
like,
what,
as someone who has, like, grotesquely small hands for a grown man, I don't know why they'd question yours. I have the smallest grown man hands ever.
I'm just saying. That's
you want to compare in the break? It's pathetic.
No, I don't want to touch you. But I'm just saying. No
wow.
offense. I'm just saying.
I'm offended.
Just saying. I have size 15 feet and I have giant hands. And you know.
You'll sleep with your wife, but you won't touch my hands.
What?
I see where our relationship is.
I see what you said. By the way, has anybody ever told you know what big feet means? Big socks. We'll take a break.
That was nice.
Coming up next.
All righty. Perfect segue. Dr. Richard Pan will join us right after we talk to, Edward Crane. And we've got a fun, quick half hour for you. We'll do it all next.
Here's your bottom of the hour news and information update with Ed Crane.
Good morning. Close the books on the 2020 presidential debates, the second and final encounter between the president and Joe Biden. Much more civil in Nashville last night and covered a lot more ground. The two pounded each other on familiar topics like the president's handling of the pandemic, his withholding his tax information, and exchanges from each that the other guy has been profiting off foreign nations. Most presidential election years, apathy is the big winner. About 50% of eligible voters don't cast a ballot. In 2020, that looks to be changing. So far, 45 million Americans have either mailed in their ballot or come out for early voting. This time in 2016, that number was just 6 million. Northern California is being infested by a foreigner, a mosquito called the Aedes aegypti, not native to California. It's an aggressive mosquito that prefers to bite people during the day rather than at night and likes to breed in small, dark areas and flower pots and pet dishes and bird baths in your backyard. Little bugs also carry Zika, dengue fever, and other diseases. COVID-19 is not going away. 32 states reported rising COVID-19 infections this week. Yesterday, the highest day for new infections since July 24th. Here in California, we're cruising towards 900,000 infections and 17,000 deaths. That's the information you need. I'm Ed Crane, Sports 1140 KHTK. Here's Dave.
You know, I'm following a story that's popping up, Ed. I don't know if you've seen it yet. Are you watching this thing on Mitch McConnell and him being heavily bruised?
No.
This is weird. I'm looking at these photos.
Pelosi hit him?
I mean, when you see these photos, his hand to the knuckle is dark purple. He has a Band-Aid around his thumb, which is also dark purple. I mean, I'm not talking like kind of. I mean severely discolored, and his lips It shows his bottom lip is also. It look. I'm not making light of this.
He's been in a fight.
His bottom lip is. It looks like he has purple lipstick on, and then his upper lip. There's also purple on that, and in the middle. Just when we get done, look it up. He's assuring everybody that his health is okay. But all of a sudden now there's a lot of questions about what the hell is going on with Mitch McConnell. Hmm. Yeah, it's very strange.
Who's on deck? If who's the most senior guy after him? Would it be Lindsey?
Lindsey Graham? Golly, I think maybe Lindsey. By the way, down.
He's having trouble.
That race is. I still think he's winning. He's going to win. But there's definitely a lot of money pouring in. On the other side. So very, very, very interesting last few days. I hit that randomly, but you'll see when you Google it. It is weird. It is very strange.
What site were you on?
I just saw it on Twitter and went, no. and then I went to Google and I've looked at a few different ones just to make sure it's not some Photoshop or anything. But he's actually addressed it and he says, I'm fine, nothing's wrong, blah, blah, blah. But still kind of.
The guy looks worse.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, my goodness, you'd like to think if there, it was a. I'm no doctor. Doesn't look like a physical thing, a physical altercation or anything like that. It looks like I have a mother who has. Blood issues and who has discoloration, anyways, have a great weekend. Have a great week next week. You and I will both be gone. I will be on the air. You will be golfing in Texas, amongst other things, and enjoy yourself. You deserve
it. When we come back, it's election minus 24 hours. So,
boy, will that be an interesting week, won't it?
Cool. Have fun.
Hey, you too, Ed. Thank you. That is Dr. Ed. That's Dr. Ed Crane. Maybe he is.
The news doctor.
Yes, the news doctor, Ed Crane, because right now joining us, Dr. Richard Pan. I wish Dr. Pan had seen these pictures. He is an actual doctor. Maybe he could tell us what the heck's going on with Mitch McConnell. Dr. Pan, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. All right. How are you?
I'm doing good. And listen, I know where we're going here. You never mince words. And when there's something good or positive going on, great. But on the opposite, unlike some, I know you have confidence in the audience that telling the truth and not keeping anything back and let them make their decisions for themselves. We are not seeing COVID cases going in the right direction right now.
No, not nationally, at least. In fact, I think yesterday we pretty much hit the same high. The overall high we had in July, some people are a little right below, some people said it's a little right above, but essentially we have just reached the peak, that number of cases we had back in July for the country. Now, good news is that here in the Sacramento region, actually we're still trending downward, so we're trying to get Sacramento County to orange, and it looks like we're heading in the right direction for that. Overall in the state, we're kind of level, so unlike the rest of the country where it's going up. But, we have to stick to it in terms of the mask wearing and keeping our physical distance and doing all the things that we need to do so we can keep heading the right direction, even as the rest of the country, unfortunately, is heading in the wrong direction.
This is a conversation or part of the conversation that tends to upset people. I'm just going to ask you straight out. I saw and again, there are cases, there are deaths. I understand the difference, but you're seeing trends that when this thing started, it was New York was the worst, New Jersey, California, not far behind it. I saw a chart. I think it was from June 1st. It was cases. And you see what you would call red states, states governed. By Republican governors are almost entirely the top half now, and those blue states have moved down. And so the question becomes, now hold on a second, is this political? And by that meaning, do you generally see a difference between a blue state, for example, and a red state? Do you see as a doctor a difference on the whole in how these states and COVID is mandated as far as social distancing, masks, and the way things are opened? Or do you think that's more of a media thing?
It's not clear. I would say also it depends on how you define blue and red states. So sometimes people say, well, is the governor a Democrat or Republican? And we do have some states who are have Democratic governors who aren't doing so well right now. And we have states that are governed by Republican governors that aren't doing very well either. And not all governors, even if they're of the same party, necessarily treat this identically. So it's always a little challenging to say that. What we do know right now is there are increased cases, particularly in rural areas. So before it was mainly large urban areas. It's now spread out into rural communities across the country. We are seeing greater rates there. States that have promoted mask wearing or have mandated masks are doing better than the ones who haven't. So it is about the public health measures and people's acceptance of these measures. So I should point out that while certainly, you know, a governor or a state government could say, well, we require masks, it's really as much about how willing people are to follow that and how seriously they take this disease. And the areas where people are taking it seriously are doing better. And I'd, again, like to point out here in our area, if people continue to stick to what they need to do, we're heading slowly, but we are heading in the right direction. And if we can get even more people to follow it, we'll be heading even more quickly in the right direction here in the Sacramento region.
Do you, obviously the twindemic with the flu is still very much a worry. We were having, parent-teacher conferences for our daughter yesterday. And one of our teachers said that even her own daughter had to, you know, the school policy is if you have any sort of COVID symptoms, which could be a runny nose, fever, cough, you're at home and you're either, I think it's quarantined for 10 days and or a negative COVID test, whichever comes first. Her daughter was out for 10 days because of the turnaround time on the test. Do you foresee, and let's remember, you made your bones as a pediatrician. You're extremely familiar with kids and sickness. Do you see for a lot of parents out there needing to prepare if their kids are back in school, for example, unlike mine, that there's going to be kind of a revolving door as we get into the winter of kids going from in-person to distance learning because of those requirements?
So that's certainly going to be a challenge because most of us who have kids have the experience of our children catching, whether it's the flu, which is much more severe, high fever, headaches, cough, or even a cold, and how do you distinguish that from COVID? The other thing I should also point out is that a negative test doesn't necessarily mean that person is absolutely negative. If the test was done when they were just exposed to COVID, let's say just a couple of days ago, there's a high rate of what we call false negatives. In fact, that's probably what happened in the White House when President Trump got COVID. You know, he had negative tests, but it's probably infectious before he had his positive test. And that just has to do with the accuracy of the test and the amount of what they call viral load, the number of, you know, viruses that have actually built up in the body before the test could pick it up. So while testing is certainly informative, that isn't the only factor we have to take into account. So for schools to prevent the spread of the disease, not only amongst the students, but into the staff or people taking it home, if a child has a fever, it really does become imperative that they stay at home. And there's a lot of things that can cause fevers aside from COVID. Now, I also just want to point out, you mentioned flu. Having flu and COVID at the same time probably is not a good thing, even for a younger person. And that's why it's so important people get their flu shot. After you get your flu shot, it takes 2 weeks for that shot to provide you the protection. So right now, you know, the flu season's still really early on. We don't have very much flu out there. This is the time to get it. If you wait till the flu's around, you may still not be protected again for 2 weeks after you get your shot, and you could still catch the flu. In fact, that's probably why some people say, well, if I get the flu shot, I get the flu. Well, you probably caught the flu before the flu shot had a chance to take effect. The flu shot does not cause the flu.
Dr. Richard Pan joins us each and every week to answer your questions, give us an update about what's going on, and try to weed through a lot of the stuff we see on social media and elsewhere. You can follow him, Dr. Richard Pan, Dr. Richard Pan, on Twitter, and go to drrichardpan.com. NFL.com as well. Doc, as always, we appreciate your time, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks very much. All right, Stay safe.
Thank you. That is Dr. Pan. We will take a break.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
What's on tap? A lot of stuff over the weekend. We also have Once in a Blue Moon with Jay Mars. And apparently no crossover has been loaded. We're going to see if we can't solve that. Apparently Jason and Doug just, you know, didn't feel like it, apparently. See if we can solve that next.
Yeah, let's go, come on!
On tap. Here's what you need to know, what you need to watch, what you need to follow today. It's What's on Tap, brought to you by
the Spice Girls game on the PlayStation 1.
What?
So we're sitting down last night, me and my wonderful significant other.
Yeah.
PlayStation 5 commercial comes on. She's like, does anybody even play PlayStation? I'm like, yeah, it's kind of a big deal in the gaming community.
Hi.
She goes,
yeah, how you doing?
Really? I'm like, yeah. She goes, I mean, other than the Spice Girls game on the first one, what? Why does it even exist anymore?
What game system does she use?
What does she use or what did she use?
Either.
Well, according to her, the Sega Genesis is the greatest system of all time. But also, according to her, PlayStation hasn't been cool since the Spice Girls game on the first one, and that was just kind of a thing. You want me? I can call her actually right now.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's The Last of Us on line two, Horizon Zero Dawn on line three, Drake's
Final
Fortune.
Call of Duty. Are
you kidding me? Listen, PlayStation is the best system in the world. It's the best-selling system in the world. It's got the best exclusives. I mean, I know Xbox Teraflop Nation out there is probably going crazy. You know that no Xbox system has ever sold as many in the United States as a PlayStation? Never. Never. There's a reason for that. Get out of here, Spice Girls. The only thing I ever remember about Spice Girls is, what was that song? If you want to be my lover, you got to get with my friends? I mean, okay. What? What kind of message is that? If you want to be my lover, you got to get with my friends. Well, yeah. Okay. What's on tap? Brought to you by apparently girlfriends that don't have the proper respect for gaming systems. Dodgers Rays game 3 tonight. First pitch 5:08. Walker Buehler, Texas Ranger, playing, by the way, at the home of the Texas Rangers.
Does that bode well or bad?
I think it bodes very well.
Okay.
It is a home game for he.
He of Texas Ranger status.
Yes, versus Charles Morton. First pitch again at 5:08, and we get to football this weekend. We're crossing our fingers for the Las Vegas Raiders. Thinking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Tom Brady. 1:05 would be the kickoff, we shall see. And right across from that, 20 minutes later, the Patriots will kick off versus the 49ers, the game of the week, without a doubt, at least record-wise, someone's going to lose, maybe. The 5-0 Saints, or the 5-0 Steelers, and the 5-0
I get it.
Texans.
Both teams have black in their color scheme. That's why
Yes, exactly.
Easy thing to do.
A lot of people checking in about the video games because I don't care.
That's kind of why I brought it up, just because I love Nerd Wars. And Xbox, PS5, Nerd Wars, terrific.
It's like Apple Android Wars. They're always fun. I always pretend to get really into them. Like, I don't care what you play on. And it's funny because Xbox and PlayStation guy always go at it. And my favorite part on social media, Xbox and PlayStation guy, you know, PlayStation's like, oh, our exclusives. And then Xbox is like, well, we bought Bethesda and we've got teraflops. And they go back and forth. And then at some point, no matter what, at some point, guy comes in. Yeah, you guys are both stupid. I'm a PC gamer and we have the best. PC gamer is the worst. Get out of here. Nobody likes you, dork. Just get out of here. We're talking about game consoles. Not you, Jason Ross. We're talking about game consoles. Get out of here with your... I have the, you know, I can do everything at 290 THZ, and I've got, you know, I steam everything. Shut up. Just hang out with your cats and play your mouse and keyboard and shut up and get out of the console thing, okay?
And enjoy those Hot Pockets.
Yeah, enjoy your Hot Pockets and your Cheetos and Mom's Basement and PC Gamer. PC Gamer always comes along and just screws everything up. Nobody likes you, PC Gamer. Thank you. Jason Ross is the,
We got Once in a Blue Moon. Don't forget that.
Is the program director of the station, as I was going to say, and he's going to stand by next to us as we get to Once in a Blue Moon.
Once in a Blue Moon, brought to you by Blue Moon Beer. Here's Jay Mars.
On this day in 1993.
Okay, 93, great year.
Joe Carter hits a walk-off three-run homer in Game 6 of the World Series to give Toronto its second consecutive World Series title. Mm-hmm. Along with Bill Mazeroski's walk-off in 1960,
yes.
Carter's blast is one of just two walk-off home runs to win the World Series.
Bill Mazeroski was the other, as you just said. 1993, that was Game 6, and I believe that was off of Mitch Williams, if I am correct.
Yes.
Yeah, that was an amazing, I remember watching it live. It was an absolutely amazing moment.
At his moments, two balls and two strikes on him. Here's the pitch on the way, a swing and a belt. Left field, way back. Blue Jays win it. The Blue Jays are World Series champions.
And the fact that it was at Sky Dome, that it was a home game for them as well. You walk off. No, it wasn't Game 7. Obviously, the best is like you're down 3-2 outs, 3-2 count, bases loaded. You're at, of course. But this was a walk-off championship home run. Really, possibly the most important home run hit in all of our lifetimes.
Also glad you referred to it as Sky Dome. It's proper name.
That is. Rogers Center. Get out of here.
So whack.
Rogers Center can go hang out with PC Gamer.
Wow.
In the 209.
Is Rogers Center a sponsor?
I don't know. neither is the late, great Roger. And Roger and Zap, I was listening to them last night. Good morning, Jason Ross.
Good morning.
Uh-oh. Is that me?
He needs to hit his button.
He did hit his button.
No, he didn't.
It's on. I'm looking at it.
Oh, I don't know why it's not working. I know now.
Uh-huh.
Your board op took it out of PGM1.
Oh, can't take it out of PGM1. How are you?
Good. How are you?
So from what I understand, and I'm not going to say what it is on the air, but let me just say Jay called Chris a really bad name off the air.
I did not.
You did.
I did not.
Okay. I'm not going to repeat it on the air, but he referred to him as very insulting.
Mm-mm.
And but apparently it was his fault, not your fault.
Yeah, we actually had a really good crossover, I thought.
Okay. Well, before we get on the crossover, who did you pick in a fight? And really, were you guys taken aback by that? Did Doug roll his eyes when I asked who would win in a fight, Trump or Biden? Because I pictured him rolling his eyes.
You know what? Now that I think about it, I don't think we got to the crossover yesterday. Can we use it today?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Fine. What's your crossover?
I gotta hit the horns, baby. Let's dance.
Okay, let's dance.
What's happening with Jason Ross and Doug Christie?
Hit that horn, babe. Let's dance.
Let's find out right now with the crossover. Here's today's crossover.
All right.
Yes.
Which Spice Girl do you play in the... No.
Mel B? I don't even know any of them.
Actually, it was really quick. It was brought up on the show organically.
Yeah.
Was there a concert you ever missed that to this day you still regret?
All right. Well, we don't have time to get to that.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. Yes, it was Metallica, Alice in Chains. It was right here, and it was my last chance to see him, and then Lane Staley died, and I never got to see Alice in Chains again. We have our crossover. That's the who wins Trump versus Biden. You guys will answer it this afternoon. For Jason Ross, for Jay Mars, for Richard Pan, for everybody else, including Greg Papa, I'm Dave. Have a safe weekend.
Last week, number two
bye-bye now.
Stayed perfect with a huge
Jim Rome is next.
Against-